Livewire with Paul Turner.
You've heard of Ali Campbell, you've heard of Kabibi Campbell, but today on Livewire, I'm going to be speaking to Robin Campbell.
Hi Paul, thank you.
And how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm alright, thank you. Not too bad. So, originally then, how did the UB40 form? When did they get together?
Well, as I say, we all got together when we were kids, so we hung out together forever. But we formed the band in the summer of 78. And basically decided, we talked about it for years. We all talked about forming a band, but we took it seriously and sat down 5 days a week, treated it like a job, you know, and learned to play together, learned to play our instruments together, and learned to make music. That was how it all started, really. We were a gang of mates that became a band.
Gosh. Now, I know the answer to this, but perhaps youngsters wouldn't. How did you get the name UB40?
We were mostly unemployed. Those of us that weren't unemployed became unemployed to form the band. So when we were looking for a name, a friend of ours who was also unemployed at the time suggested that we were all card-carrying members of the UB40 Club, which was the identity card that you presented for your unemployment benefit. So when you were signing on in those days as unemployed, you had to go and sign on once a week, and that was the card that you produced with your name and national insurance number, etc., and it was called a UB40 card. So, as I say, our friend said, you've all got one of those cards, why don't you call yourselves UB40? And it kind of worked, because at the time, in the 70s, when Margaret Thatcher came to power, that was... there was a lot of unemployment and a lot of people with a UB40 card. Kind of created interest immediately.
Absolutely brilliant. And, of course, nowadays it's... nowadays they call it Job Seekers, don't they?
Job Seekers Allowance, yeah. Not much of a band name, is it, really?
No, not really.
Mind you, I never thought UB40 was a good band name at the time, but... everybody else seemed to like it, and it did sort of instantly get interest, you know, with the press and everybody, you know, so it turned out to be a piece of marketing genius, but, you know, those things are always happy accidents.
That's right. Now, I heard rumours when Ali Campbell left that Maxi Priest was going to take lead vocals. It was only rumours, but was he ever in the line for that?
No, not really. The thing was that at the time we'd just done a tour with Maxi. He'd been supporting us on the tour, and he came to Australia with us on a tour as well. But he was performing in his own right with his own band. But because of that, we'd worked in the studio with him, and we did record a couple of tracks with him. In fact, he sang lead vocal on a track that we put on our next album, but also so did his son, who was also travelling with him at the time. We recorded a song with his son as well, and we put those on. We put both of them on the album. Neither at any time were either of them candidates for lead vocalists with the band. It's just that we had worked with them, and I suppose because we had just worked with them, the rumours started, you know, that Maxi was going to be the next singer. But no, he was never actually seriously being considered. Not that I don't think he's a great singer, it's just that he wouldn't necessarily be what we'd be looking for to continue to keep the sound of UB40. He's kind of a bit too instantly recognisable in his own right, you know.
Oh, that's true, yep. So I believe in the summer of 1980, you went along with Chrissie Hynde and the Pretenders?
It was the winter of 70, it was Christmas, it was the Christmas tour of 79, she invited us on her tour, which was, of course, a sold-out tour. So it was just perfect for us because it exposed us to an audience that wouldn't have seen us otherwise. We released a single while we were on the tour, our very first single, and it went into the charts. So by the time we came off the tour, we had a top 10 single and an instant following. So, yeah, she kind of discovered us.
Wow, amazing. So, and of course, the Pretenders used to get tons of airplay on the radio when they first came out, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, she was massive at the time. And, you know, she could have had anybody really supporting her because the tour was sold out anyway. And, you know, the audience were coming to see her. So it was fantastic that she gave us the opportunity, really. And it really did springboard us, you know, onto into a British audience and onto the radio. You know, is all of a sudden we just were getting massive exposure that we hadn't had before. It was much quicker than we thought it was ever going to be, and we immediately booked the same tour for ourselves and sold it out. So, yeah, that was an amazing time.
Gosh, now, an album of yours that stayed on the charts for weeks and weeks and weeks, signing off, I guess that was the way of saying that you weren't signing on anymore, was it?
That was the album that we released after the Pretenders tour. And when we did our own tour, which again, as I say, that was sold out, and we released the album. And it stayed in the charts for 2 years, I think. So, you know, we kind of haven't looked back since then. And signing off is a pretty obvious thing to call it.
Very clever. So you had your own record company as well?
Yeah, that came a little bit later. We were with Graduate Records for the first album. But we had a falling out with them. When they released our album in South Africa and deleted politically offending tracks, which kind of upset us, because if we were going to release albums in South Africa, we wanted the offending tracks to be on the record, you know. So we politically fell out with them and decided to form our own record label, which we kept going for 20 odd years.
What's the current lineup these days?
What, you want me to name everybody individually? it's the same as it's always been, except that we don't have Ali and Astro and Mickey anymore. They've gone their own way. Our lead singer is now Duncan, my other younger brother. But, you know, he's been singing with us now for 7 years. So, and we have the same horn section that we've had for 15 years. So it's not, you know, there's no new boys. They've all been around with us for a long time now. So, yeah, apart from Duncan. Duncan's a new boy and he's in his seventh year with us now.
Can't be bad. Does it seem different to you since Ali left?
Yeah, I don't really want to go into it really, but yeah, it's more enjoyable, to be honest. well, he wasn't enjoying himself in the last you know, couple of years that he was with us, really. And Duncan coming in has rejuvenated us, because, you know, it was all new to him. The fans reacted to him so brilliantly that it kind of gave us a new lease of life, you know. And we've been gigging more in the last 6-7 years than we had in the previous 10 years, you know. So we're just having a great time. We've rediscovered our joy for playing live music, you know. It kind of surprised us how much we're enjoying it now, and it's reminded us why why we formed the band in the first place, you know, and how much we love making music.
Have you got a favourite UB40 track at all?
My favourite changes on a daily basis, really, or a weekly basis anyway. There's usually, you know, I usually have a favourite of our new stuff, whatever our latest is. There's usually something that I'm loving doing off that. At the moment, it's Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain would be my favourite song off the current album. But then, you know, we revive songs that we haven't done for 20 years, and that becomes the favourite song of the set, you know, because you haven't done it for so long, and it's lovely to see the reaction from the fans. And, you know, then there's perennial favourites that, you know, that you have to do, the Red Red Wines, you know, that you'd be lynched if you didn't do. You know, there's always, it's constantly changing.
Now, where can people actually buy your music these days?
Well, buying music, that's a new idea at the moment. Most people are nicking it. you know, downloads is how most people are doing it. Record shops are on the way out, aren't they? So, yeah, downloading, iTunes. I'd much prefer it if people were going to shops, and maybe they'll come back. Maybe record shops will come back to the phone, because there's nothing like having the physical product in your hand. I think, you know, if I buy music, I don't download it. I buy the CD. But you know, that's because I'm a dinosaur. I think people should just get their music wherever they want to, you know, and however they want to.
Well, so many people say it's much better with a physical copy. Plus, you got sleeve notes and things like that, which you can learn from. Of course, a download, you can't ever learn anything.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah, having a physical thing. I mean, I miss vinyl. You know, I miss the album. I think having the album in your hands, going home from the record shop with your latest album purchase was something, you know, that I loved doing. That's why I've still got, you know, thousands of vinyl records. But, yeah, it's a shame. I don't suppose that's ever going to come back. But I do still think that having, you know, the physical CD is better than downloading. Because, yeah, as you say, you've got cover notes and artwork and whatever else. And it's just nice to have, you know, the full product. But young people, I think they don't feel that way. It's much more disposable, you know, and people tend to cherry pick as well nowadays, don't they? With iTunes, they tend to pick, you know, one or two tracks that they like rather than go for the whole album.
That's right, yeah.
People make their own playlists up now, don't they? You know, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when a band has put the work in and done an album's worth, I think you should listen to their work in its entirety, you know, as a whole, because that's how it was made.
That's very true. You could still make vinyl albums if you wanted to, because it never did actually go out. There is still places that do actually sell that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. My son actually sells vinyl online, vinyl reggae online, and there's still a market for that. But, you know, it's about as useful as making 78s or cassettes, you know. It's a format that's you know, that's had its day. Anyone who's clinging to vinyl like me, you know, they're just being nostalgic, really. You know, the rest of the world has moved on.
Oh, you want to see my loft? It's full of vinyl.
Yeah, me too. You know.
Right. Do you have a website at all?
Yeah, ub40.co.uk.
That's easy enough.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else that you expect to see us. We're there. We've got, I don't know, 1.5 million followers on Facebook, I think.
Cool. Can't be bad. Do you use it very much?
Oh, I'm on it daily. I don't necessarily speak on it, but, you know, I don't necessarily contribute, but I read it on a daily basis. And, yeah, there's always, you know, some of the members of the band are on there answering fans. I think that's one of the things that our fans like about us, is that we're accessible, you know. We don't hide from them. And if they come on our websites and or Facebook and comment, very often they'll get a response from us.
Well, there you go. You're not that much of a dinosaur then.
Oh, I'm trying.
Well, I shall say good luck in the future with tours and all new albums and such things. And thanks for appearing on the show. And
absolute pleasure.
And hopefully we'll speak to you again sometime down the line.
It was my pleasure, Paul. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. That's Robin Campbell from UB40.
Well, I've got to run to keep from hiding, and I'm bound to keep on riding, and I got one more silver dollar
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media.